The Fox News Channel and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show. It's the weekly review show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years as a professional money manager. Used to write research reports as an analyst on the individual companies in the early years of my career. So I hope I've got something worthwhile to say here for you. Well, you know what? Look, we saw a new all-time high on the Dow this past week at 35,000. We saw a new high on the NASDAQ. It's chasing 15,000 right now, but it hit 14,850, somewhere in that range this past week, which is another new all-time high. And we saw a new all-time high this past week on the S&P 500. Which is above 4,400 right now. So I don't want to hear any complaints about the market. And I always hear the question, is it too late to get in? Well, you know, I've been hearing that now for 13 years. When this all started, the S&P 500, this was back in 2009, was at 660. Today it's at 4,400. So you've had almost a sevenfold move in the S&P 500. Can it go higher from here? Are we at the top? Well, I've heard that for the last 13 years too. And I would say that answer depends upon the future of earnings growth. For many, the market is a big mystery. Okay, they really don't know what drives the market over the longer haul. And during today's show, I kind of want to demystify the market a little bit for you and keep it really, really simple. If you can learn some basic principles about the market, I think I can help make you a lot better investor over the long term. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I manage several portfolios for Southport Capital, which is a nationwide firm. Headquartered in Atlanta and Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm out here on the East Coast in South Carolina near Charleston. That's where I manage my portfolios from. I was the CEO of Gunderson Capital Management for 15 years. And this past year, I merged my company with Southport Capital. You know, I've always wanted a bigger footprint nationwide and more offices nationwide for people to go into, have my show, radio show, in more markets, although it's been in a lot of markets over the last 21 years. But it was a real good fit for me, and so far, so good. Everything going well, and I continue to manage six portfolios, from a bond fund to a very aggressive emerging growth stock fund, and in between, I manage a large cap growth fund, an ultra growth fund, which is small and mid caps, a dividend and growth fund. That's a fun one. I try to find dividend paying stocks that are still growing their earnings. You know, a lot of the big dividend payers with the big dividend yields are not growing their earnings anymore, the AT&Ts and the Philip Morrises of the world. And so they offer a big fat dividend, kind of like candy to keep people around the stock, even though they're not growing anymore. Their earnings growth has just been pretty much at a standstill for many, many years. Conversely, I like to find dividend-paying stocks that are paying a lower dividend yield than, say, 5 or 6%. But still growing their earnings at a better than average clip versus other stocks, companies in the market. And as I said earlier, you know, this past week we saw new highs on the NASDAQ. We saw a new high on Thursday, in fact, in the NASDAQ. We saw a new high on the Dow, 35,000 plus now. When this all started back in 2009, this big secular bull that we're still in, the NASDAQ or the Dow was around 6,000 or 7,000, and here we are at 35,200. Have you been involved in it? Have you stood on the sidelines throwing rocks at it, saying it's not real, these earnings are manufactured, companies are buying back shares? You know, I hear all kinds of excuses for not being in the market, but the bottom line is, look at what it's done here since the last bear back in 2008 and 2009 during the financial crisis. We're seeing new highs in the market. We got a blowout jobs report. You know, on Thursday we thought, well, that ADP jobs report, not too good. Actually, that was on Wednesday. In fact, it was lousy. And we thought, you know, that would spill over and that Friday's jobs report would be mediocre. But no, instead, we got a blowout jobs report on Friday. Now, that's having an impact on several sectors of the market. For one, interest rates are going up here towards the end of this week, and those rising rates, those higher interest rates, are helping the bank sector, the basic materials sector, and the financial sector. And conversely, on Friday, the NASDAQ is struggling a bit because the NASDAQ goes the opposite way of interest rates. We saw that back in February and March of this year when interest rates started rising really rapidly. Guess what started falling very quickly? The high PE NASDAQ type stocks, high growth stocks, and you saw it in ETFs like Cathie Wood's ARK, A-R-K-K. It took about a 35% hit when those interest rates went on their merry little run back in February and March. And then, of course, interest rates turned around. And recently they got all the way back down to 1.15 after hitting 1.85 earlier this year. And now interest rates are starting to turn around and climb kind of slowly here again. But that's having a little bit of an impact on the NASDAQ here on Friday as interest rates go a little bit higher. Financials go higher. Banks go higher. Interest rates go higher. The bond market sells off. But let's not forget that the tech stocks and the NASDAQ hit a new all-time high on Thursday. And I just have to say that that's still where most of the premier growth is in that tech-heavy NASDAQ. You're going to find most of your great growth names still, your innovators, your fast-growing companies. Some of them even pay dividends. Well, you know, for many, for most, just over my career, 21 years in the business, or two decades, most people, the market to them is a big mystery. And they're trying to guess, you know, and they're trying to get in front of moves that they think the market's going to do, whether it's in interest rates or whether they think gold's going to go way up or whether they think cryptocurrencies are going to go much higher or the market's going to go much lower. And it kind of becomes just a guessing game. And a lot of people handle the market from an emotional point of view. And I would just say from my experience that emotion is one of your worst enemies. Emotion is one of your worst enemies in the market. You got to cut through the emotion and get to the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Now, I'm old enough to remember Jack Webb and Dragnet and just the facts. And that's basically, you know, the market, it's all about the facts and the numbers. You can hear all these pundits coming on television and, you know, writing in the financial publications about their views on the market and what they think's going to happen. But at the end of the day, to take the mystery out of the market, there's really one major factor that drives the markets, the stock market that is, higher or lower. And for this reason, which we'll talk about in the second quarter of the show, we'll identify this number one indicator, let's call it. That's why you saw the market surge this past week. We saw a market surge this past week. We saw Dow hitting new highs. We saw NASDAQ hitting new highs. S&P 500 hitting new highs. Why? Because the most important gauge and the most important indicator in the entire market rose this past week. Why did it rise? And what does that mean for the future of this market? And what is that major indicator? Well, that indicator has driven the market since 2009 higher and to these new all-time highs. And I write a weekly newsletter, and I identify and tell you where the market, where I think the market's headed based on this most important indicator. You can get 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. I'm putting the pen to it right now. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be back with that number one indicator in the market. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, okay, the market has been hitting new highs since 2009 when the NASDAQ bottomed out at 606, or the S&P 500 bottomed out at 660 during the financial crisis and the Great Recession. That was the last bear market that we had, where the S&P 500 went down 53%. And the same indicator that I'm going to mention here in a minute that has been driving the market higher over the last 12, 13 years was the reason for the market going lower from 2007 through 2009. Well, I'll give you a little hint what the most important factor is, indicator, in the stock market. What's the most important factor in real estate? Well, most real estate agents will tell you it's location, location, location. What's the most important factor in the bond market? Well, I would say it's interest rates, interest rates, interest rates. And in the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. And by earnings, I mean profits. Okay, if you own your own business, I own my own business for 15 years, and you know, one of the ways to grow your business is to grow your top line sales, okay, revenues. But do those growing sales translate to growing earnings on the bottom line? That's after tax profits. Now, the greatest stocks, you know, in the market today and the greatest stocks over the years have been companies that have come along with the product. Let's just take Apple, for instance, and continue to grow that product, take market share, innovate, make new products. And along the way, that has carried their revenue and their sales higher and higher and higher. And eventually a company kind of levels off and tops out and no longer is growing their earnings at a very rapid pace. They start to slow down. It's kind of gravity, math, etc. They've saturated the world with Coke or IBM, you know, which once was a great growth company. They level off into that 2 or 3% growth area. So the bottom line for individual stocks is it's earnings, earnings, earnings that drive growth at companies now, or earnings expectations. Now, that also applies to the indexes, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow. And the most watched index is the S&P 500. And there's many analysts like myself out there that create a composite earnings estimate for the entire S&P 500 for the coming year and for the next year and maybe even the year after that. Now, why has the market been going higher since 2009? Well, let's use a little logic after what I just told you here. We got new highs along the way because we've had higher earnings along the way. Consider for a moment that back in 2009, the composite earnings for the S&P 500 got cleared down to $53 per share. $53 per share, okay? Now, here we are, 2021. We're looking for $200 per share. And next year, we're looking for $220 per share in composite S&P 500 earnings. So do the math. Earnings have grown from $53 per share in 2009 for the S&P 500 composite. And next year we're expected to hit $220 per year. Okay, so that's a fourfold, almost fivefold by the time we get to 2023, 2024, fivefold growth in earnings. And what's the market done? Well, it's done even a little bit better than fivefold appreciation, because you've also had a very accommodative Fed keeping interest rates very low, which has also allowed for the multiple to expand. What do I mean by that? That's the P.E. ratio of the market. You know, over the long haul, the P.E. ratio of the market's been in the 16 to 17 area. Right now, we're pushing 28, 29, 30. Why? Because of the very friendly Fed. Our friends at the Fed have kept interest rates most accommodating. And monetary policy, very easy, very accommodating. And that has allowed the multiple to expand along with growing earnings. And that's what's enabled the S&P to go from 660 to today's almost 4,500. Now, okay, using that logic, where's it headed from here? Well, obviously, that all depends on two factors. It depends on earnings continuing to grow next year, the year after that, the year after that, or the projections, the estimates, and interest rates are another factor. If interest rates start to rise again, that multiple, or PE, is going to contract, and it's going to lower the S&P or the NASDAQ or the Dow, and temper it a little bit, but that will be more than overcome by growing earnings in the market in that composite S&P 500. Now, Mr. Gunderson, you say, in 2020 we had COVID and earnings took a big hit. Well, you know, I mean, my background, one background area I have is in accounting and financial analysis, and I was a CFO of an advertising company. Well, you know, we call that in an income statement a one-off, an extraordinary item, an asterisk at the bottom of the, in the footnotes at the bottom of the income statement in small print. This was a one-off. Now you say, well, COVID could come back. Yes, you know, there's all kinds of things that could happen. The whole world could go to war with one. There's all kinds of things could happen. There could be more terror. Who knows? There's all kinds of things. But we have to go on what we do know. And that comes back to earnings. And yes, we did have a down year last year, but it was an extraordinary item that led to record earnings this year. Why? Because of all the pent-up demand. Look at all the restaurants, theaters were closed during COVID, and you couldn't travel, you couldn't go to hotels, you couldn't fly. And guess what? All of that pent-up demand is now being unleashed on the U.S. economy, and we're going to have record S&P 500 earnings this year. Now, let's go even one step further than that. Every 90 days, the companies, publicly traded companies, report their earnings. It's called earnings season. When we started this earnings season about a month ago, we were looking for 60% growth versus the same quarter last year. This has been a blowout quarter. It's been an earnings smasher. Now we're looking for almost double, 100% growth versus the same quarter last year. And what's that done to 2021 earnings, 2022, 2023 full year earnings? And what does that mean for the market? It's all in my newsletter every single week. I've been right since 09. you might want to take a look at it. Go to Gunderson, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, and get two free weeks of my newsletter. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know what? Here's my question for you as I try to demystify the markets a little bit, having been heavily involved as a professional money manager for the last 21 years in the market. The S&P has gone from 660 to 4,400, a little over 4,400 over the last 12 years, let's see, since 2000, 2009. Have you participated? Okay. Well, no, I'm afraid, or I'm a little scared, and I've gotten out many times along the way, and I your 401k should have grown exponentially here over the last 6 or 7 years. And yes, there will be another bear market. And generally speaking, there will be some warning signs to lighten up in the market, and that's why I come back to the most important indicator in the market. It is earnings, but it's even more than that. It's earnings expectations, okay? Looking down the road 1 year, 2 years, even the next 3 years. That's what I had to do as an analyst when I wrote up individual research reports on companies. I had to project. I had to make pro forma income statements that projected what I thought the future could bring and what that would do to the value of a stock over time. Well, it's no different for the indexes. You know, as an analyst, we project those 500 companies and what we think they can do over the next 5 years. And a lot of that depends on the economy, obviously. We watch the economy very closely and all the reports that come in on a weekly basis. But, you know, all of that feeds into now those composite earnings estimates and earnings estimate expectations down the road of the S&P 500 companies. And, you know, that's what I use every week to make my macro call. Okay, that's just the beginning of the process, my friends, to making the macro call in the market, which you got to get right to begin with. I mean, you don't want to ride a market down. The NASDAQ went down 79% in 2000. I was there. I witnessed it. 79%. It was the dot-com bubble. And in 2009, the S&P 500, or 2008, 2009, the S&P went down 53%. And obviously, earnings expectations started to fall in 2007. That was a warning sign that there was trouble looming ahead. So, you know, I'm different from most money managers. I do believe in a little market timing and protecting your downside when expectations start to drop. And I'm not talking about just your opinion, your sentiment, you're dropping your expectations. And no, I look at the actual numbers and the consensus numbers and the actual facts and weigh a lot of facts before I make my macro calls every week. And that's in my newsletter every week. That's one section of my newsletter called The Macro Outlook. I offer out two free weeks. I've been writing it for 21 years. Has a pretty darn good track record. I also write for Seeking Alpha every week. I think it's the largest financial website in the world these days. And I'm ranked in the top 3% of all those writers on Seeking Alpha with the results that I've achieved, with the picks that I've made over the years. And, of course, those picks, most of them end up in the portfolios that I manage. Okay, so now the macro outlook number one. Okay, now we got to go a little bit further into this. Well, you could use the macro outlook just to time and buy and sell the indexes, okay? Just buy the S&P 500 or the QQQ, which is the NASDAQ, or SPY, which is the S&P 500. But I personally like to cherry pick the indexes, and You know, there's times when there's a lot of sectors in those indexes. They're just not very good. For instance, right now, you know, I don't have any exposure to the oil and gas sector. I don't have any exposure, the emerging markets. China's getting clobbered right now, and that's killing the emerging markets. So I have zero exposure to the emerging markets. So, number one, I like to select amongst the asset classes and the sectors within an index, and avoid the places that aren't a good place to be, and try to focus on the areas that are really thriving at any given time in the economy. And that changes, okay? That changes from year to year. I remember when the auto sector was a really dull, boring sector, you know? There were several times where they needed bailouts from the government, and they struggled to make a profit, and now the auto sector is one of the most exciting sectors, mainly because of a guy named Elon Musk who turned the auto sector upside down. And a lot of your innovation today is happening in the automobile sector. You know, back in the late 90s, it was the computer sector. As computers got smaller, more powerful, lighter weight, they cost less. We were able to network them, and then along came the Internet. We had the Internet revolution. Look where that has led. And then we had the telephone revolution, where no longer was that phone that thing that hung on the wall that would ring every once in a while. You had a dial on front of the phone. I know you millennials are going, what? What is this guy talking about? He's a boomer. Yeah, well, that's pretty good that I have that experience. I saw that telephone revolution. Now on my iPhone, I have my record collection. I have my calendar. I have my weather reports. I have my sports. I have my newspapers. My Rolodex. What's a Rolodex, Mr. Gunderson? Well, you know, we used to have a little thing that we would flip through with our contacts and important phone numbers. And now we just spin the dial on our phone by, flicking the glass. But anyways, now we're in kind of a revolution with the automobile sector. The cloud has been a major recent innovation and revolution going on there. Cybersecurity is a new sector that didn't exist before. Cryptocurrency and the the Bitcoins and the Ethereum, etc. of the world. So it's a really fun industry to be in, but at the same time, it's a very big industry. I created a database called the Best Stocks Now database. It's beststocksnowapp.com, and from that I created an app. And I came up with my own system of grading and ranking those 6,000, almost 6,000 assets that I have in my database. There's many individual stocks in there. There's ETFs. There's mutual funds. And I rank them on a relative basis. That's very important because in that I can get my macro right because I rank the S&P 500, the Dow, the NASDAQ on a ranking basis. It's been good. It's been on a buy signal now for 12, 13 years. Only a few times did it flash a very short sell signal, but came right back into that buy signal. That's been a handy tool for me along the way. But then it ranks the sectors of the market. There's 66, 70 sectors of the market. And right now, you know, the NASDAQ is surging and the Dow is surging, S&P surging, but it's only a few sectors that are really carrying the market right now. For instance, the software sector, which is cybersecurity stocks, cloud stocks, that's been an excellent sector to be invested in here recently. The semiconductor sector. Do you know how much semiconductors have changed our lives? Semiconductors are in almost everything, toys, cars, obviously your computers, they're in the road, embedded traffic lights, it goes on and on and on. That's been an excellent sector in the market. Online shopping, revolution, changing the world, right? And then COVID brought along a lot of new innovations in sectors like Zoom. We Zoom. We don't get together in the conference room. We meet on Zoom. So that all plays into it, getting into the right sectors. Now, where I would go from there, and having been in the market for 21 years and watching the markets and going through my database every single day, I can tell you that the vast majority of the market is mediocrity. All right? I would say 90%. 85 to 90% is mediocrity. You know, biotechs that may never have a product, stodgy old companies that aren't growing much anymore, like AT&T and Coca-Cola and Goodyear. I kind of call them stocks of yesteryear. Where are the best stocks now in today's world? Well, I created a newsletter that I write every week. It's called Best Stocks Now. And it's chock full of what I consider to be the best stocks now, including the portfolios that I manage for folks. You can get 2 free weeks by going to my website at Gunderson Capital, S-O-N, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back with a few examples of some best stocks now.
You got to go where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we've talked a little bit about the mystery of the market. We've tried to demystify it. The market is based on earnings, just like real estate is based on location, location, location. And the faster those earnings are growing and, are sustainable and can be maintained, in my opinion, that makes for the better investment. If stocks follow earnings and if index follows earnings, obviously you want the superior earnings compared to other companies out there. I have my own ranking system that I invented for myself to help me as a money manager, wade through a big, big ocean every day and get down to those 200 or 300 top-ranked stocks at any given time in the market. And it worked so well for me, I made it available to, I have a lot of do-it-yourselfers that listen to my podcast. I do a daily radio show Monday through Friday also that you can find on my website at GundersonCapital.com. And it's live every day. I put about 3 hours of research into it every single morning. But it's also my research that I do as a professional fee-based money manager running about 6 portfolios, which are also available to the public. I think you can probably tell by the commercials. That's the main thing I do is I manage money for folks, and they can invest in the portfolios that I run. You can get more information on that at GundersonCapital.com. I'm not your traditional asset allocator that's going to put you into a passive group of different assets, bonds, stocks, a little bit of gold, and make a little tweak every 90 days or so and based on your age. I believe that there's a lot more factors out there in the world. Right now I wouldn't have any exposure to the emerging markets, which are usually a part of any asset allocation because of what's going on in China. You know, if you read the news every day and what they've done to their stock market and their individual stocks, that's the emerging markets are heavily influenced towards China. And you got to know that if you see emerging markets in your 401k or, in your asset allocation. That's a tough place to be. I'm not real wild about bond funds either right now because interest rates, what are we at, 1.25? We were up at 1.8 earlier this year. Many people think we're headed back to 2% at least, over the next 18 months or so, which wouldn't be good for bond funds. I don't have any problem owning individual bonds in a portfolio that you're going to hold to maturity. That's how we run our bond fund, and it's done really well over the last several years. But owning a bond fund is a different animal. You're going to really see some severe price depreciation as interest rates go up, and you're not able to hold those bonds really to maturity. So, I like owning individual, maybe 10 or 12 bonds, from Best Stocks Now companies, and that's where I'm headed next, okay? What are the best stocks now? You know, at one time it was Procter & Gamble. At one time it was AT&T. At one time it was IBM and Cisco and, Verizon and the others. But these companies aren't growing anymore. They've matured, okay? They pay a dividend yield, yes. But their earnings growth is in the 3 or 4% range, and we have a whole new crop of companies today, and some that have been best stocks now for a long, long time. Look at Apple. It's been a best stocks now for a long, long time. It's, now become a trillion-plus company. They continue to innovate. They haven't even touched the electric car market, where supposedly they're headed next. AMD is a big holding of ours. AMD passed Intel several years ago, like Intel was standing still. And, as you go on this best stocks now concept, Intel at one time was the best stocks now. In fact, Intel kind of started the entire Silicon Valley. It was one of the first companies that raised cash, and it was in that Silicon Valley, and look what that has grown to. But at the same time, Intel is a very mature company. AMD is eating their lunch. You can look up the rankings of those two stocks in my beststocksnowapp.com. Look up the ranking of AMD. The ranking is based on performance and valuation and a little bit of safety and momentum. And I have a proprietary ranking system that gives that company a rank. You know what? The top is number one. I could tell you that Datadog and there's actually a financial stock at the top of the heap right now, Ares Capital Management. And down at the bottom of the heap, oh, there's a lot of them down there at the bottom of the heap. In fact, I would say 85 to 90% of the market is mediocre. And then you've got your best stocks now. Obviously, Amazon's still a best stock now. They turned the world upside down. What, you'll also find that a lot of these best stocks now, what they have in common is they were disruptors. They disrupted an entire industry. But not every disruptor works out. I look at Uber and Lyft. They were major disruptors. But there's a big question mark as to whether they'll ever be profitable. There's a big question mark. And even though they disrupted an entire industry, they're not rolling in the earnings at all. In fact, they continue to lose money. Other best stocks now, NVIDIA, with game-changing, pardon the pun, chips. ServiceNow, which helped one of the great cloud stocks of our time, along with Salesforce. CrowdStrike, one of the great cybersecurity stocks. This hacking business is not going to stop. It's only going to get worse. Square in the fintech area, financial payments. And then there's a whole lot of garbage that I wouldn't get involved in, the space exploration, the Bitcoin miners. I would rather stay with the quality companies that have real earnings and real growth. Well, that's what my Best Stocks newsletter is all about. That's what my daily radio show is all about. It's called Best Stocks Now. And my app that I invented is called beststocksnowapp.com. So you can ferret through and sift through this big ocean out there, or this big field of wheat, and separate the wheat from the tares. And, those wheat kernels are these prime companies that are in the prime of their life. And that's been the whole focus, really, of my career. That's how I run my portfolios. I want to put the 25 best stocks into my premier growth portfolio at any given point in time, just like a general manager of a baseball team trying to put the 25 best players. Well, what is my opinion on where the best stocks are right now, and what's the macro outlook picture look for the next 2 to 3 years in the market? It's all in this week's newsletter that will go out tomorrow morning. You can get a free 2-week trial at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, you can also go to that website, GundersonCapital.com, or call us.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.